Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Turnpike. Becoming clear and a little bit cooler tonight. 53 is the low. Sunny and warm on Thursday. High 85. Partly cloudy, windy on Friday. High in the low 80s. Storm chances return Friday evening and they could be severe. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Kansas Fan Headquarters, 97.5 and 1240 KFH Wichita, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Hey Wichita, Jacob Albrock. Stay right there for the latest breaking in sports talk. It's Sports Daily, coming up next, exclusively on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Jim Rome here with your Rome Report. Epic battle in the Bronx last night where the Yankees outlasted the Angels as two future Hall of Famers, Aaron Judge and Mike Trout, stood in the middle of the ring trading haymakers. The two three-time MVPs both hit two bombs en route to New York, walking the Angels off on a wild pitch. That was a blast. Too bad it was also a microcosm of Trout's Hall of Fame career. A legendary performance by an all-time great, but nothing to show for it except another L. But don't feel too badly for Trout. He's used to it, and he signed up for it. He's not stuck in Anaheim. He's exactly where he wants to be. Not saying the guy doesn't want to win, isn't competitive, and isn't an all-time great. He is all those things, but the ring is not the most important thing. If it was, he would have busted out of here long ago. You know, like his former teammate Shohei Ohtani did. The guy wanted the ring, the pressure, the major market, and everything that comes along with it. Trout wants none of those things, which is why he has never asked for a trade, and he never will. I'm Jim Rome.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Fuck him now.
Really? I mean, is that going to be a thing now?
You don't like it?
Thanks, Cassie. What are you looking at? Go.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Aloha, Mr. Hyde.
Well, hey there. Good morning, everybody. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday to you on Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland, Max Power producing. He's got your KFH hotline at 869-1240. We are rocking and rolling through the midweek here. We can get you on the video streams as well, Facebook, YouTube, X. Your comments welcome there, and on the Odyssey app where you can leave us voice messages. Thanks for tuning in on 12 News Connected as well. We're glad to have you here. However it is that you take in the show, you can also email the show, sportsdaily@kfhradio.com, if you have any commentary. A lot of portal talk coming today. Some movement all around. Still kind of waiting on the big fish for KU, though. KU insider Sri Islata is going to join the show. Royals fans, how you feeling about that offense? My goodness. Wash, rinse, repeat as the Royals fall last night. 2-1. We'll get into the latest there as well. There was a little bit of a lineup shakeup. Was it enough? We'll have it all for you. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company. Join Wichita Brewing Company in celebrating 250 years of America and 15 years of WBC with $2.50 flagship beers on the 15th of every month in 2026. That's today. $2.50 flagship beers today and on the 15th of every month in 2026 at WBC, Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here for 15 years. We come in, TJ Cleland there. How are you this morning, TJ?
I'm great. My dog found a squeaker toy, so I apologize for that. We will get that taken care of. If KFH wants to save some money, we should just stop talking about the Royals and just record the segments because it's the same thing every single day.
Man, it's tough. It's tough. Does Bogey the dog celebrate Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday?
He does not have any Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays. I don't know if he would like that or not. Probably
I'll bet you a dollar they make Hawaiian shirts for dogs.
I bet they do.
You should see.
Yeah, maybe one day. Maybe that's how I'll celebrate. Just put one on him every Wednesday because I'm a
fun hater.
I'm a grumpy old man. And by the way, KU's not looking for the big fish. They're looking for a fish. They have
any fish.
All their bait. Their bait is still in their bucket. They have not caught anything. Now they're actually literally looking at a big fish. Bonky. Remember Bonky?
No.
The Charlotte 7-footer that played.
Yeah. Well, they were also looking at, weren't they looking at Barons from Tulsa too?
Who knows?
We're
looking at everybody. Who's looking at them is the question now.
I don't know what is happening. What is happening? We'll get Shreya's Lotta's thoughts on it. It doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. We'll get you all caught up on the portal happenings. We had some movement for it's interesting. You get movement that we talk about for Wichita State and K-State, and it continues to be the non-movement for KU. That is there. Looking at the NFL draft a little bit closer, we will take you there. Sharon Moore, Derby native. I don't know if you saw this quick headline that I didn't miss, but it was a headline yesterday. He pleaded no contest to misdemeanor counts. He'll get 18 months of probation. For all of those things that were happening there in Michigan. We get news on the Royals stadium, TJ, that we probably need to get into as a part of the Royals. Are they going to Washington Square? But what have the Royals said anything about this?
So where we are now is that yesterday it was all about can Casey Moe even write up a lease to offer it to them? And that got approved. So now on Thursday, I believe, there's a city council meeting where they will basically vote on if they're going to give it to them or not. And they'll draft it up. And, you know, that's the next step. And then after that, it's up to the Royals if they want to take it or not. So,
okay. Well, right now, it's kind of the only offer that the Royals have. So, I mean, I think they're going to take it. It's the best offer and only offer that they have on the table. I don't know that the state of Kansas ever formally pulled their offer because John Sherman told us at opening day that those conversations were still continuing, but it's $600 million of public money at this venue, approved for the site of up to, I think, $1.9 billion. It looks like they're going to have to do a lot of like demolition and knocking some stuff out. I don't even know honestly where Washington Square Park is. Like up in Kansas City, I know just a handful of areas. Truman, mm-hmm. where they play now, downtown, like true downtown, Power and Light area, and the Country Club Plaza area. That's it. Yeah. I have no idea where Washington Square Park is.
It's like a stone's throw away from the T-Mobile Center, basically.
So that'd be fine.
It's right across from Union Station. You covered the Royals parade, didn't you? You know where Union Station is.
No, I did not cover the parade. Nope. Coming back from New York City. Sure.
It is right there. It's like a couple blocks away. And so that's the next question of all the, infrastructure of what they're going to do here. There's parking lots within walking distance and things like that. What they're going to do next is interesting. I imagine they'll build some garages and do some stuff that way. What will they do to it's all downtown, but now there's going to be kind of a gap between that downtown and that downtown. Like, what are they going to do to bridge that gap and make, and I know a streetcar is a big deal that they want to do to kind of be able to take you, like you can go to Power and Light and get on the train and take you right there. And that's all you have to worry about and that kind of thing. So it'll be interesting. There's a lot of stuff that they're going to do to try to make this work. I still think it's a good thing that they are even within the vicinity of downtown, if that's what's happening. But it's better than it's better than the Truman Sports Complex. And I love the K. There's nothing against the K. It's the Truman Sports Complex.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The K, yeah, I don't know, man. The K's kind of K could use a renovation too. I think you love the K because you grew up with the K.
Yeah, probably.
And that's fine. That's totally fine. There's nothing like I think we overthink how badly we need new stadiums. The K is a fine place to go watch a baseball game. But it's you know, like as far as stadiums go now, it's behind a little bit. But I'm not sure that it was ever ahead. They're going to, you know, they're going to get the new state-of-the-art thing. They just got to find the place for it. I hope this is the end of this. It is the best case scenario for all parties. Now that the Chiefs are headed over to Kansas, Kansas got what it wanted. The Royals are ultimately, if they accept this deal, going to get what they wanted. The only thing we don't know now is that enough public money? Or would leaving the KC area be on the table for more public money? That's now the ball's in the Royals court. So go give us that answer, I guess, because right now the proposal, when does this have to be accepted? Because at this point, like yesterday, it would open right when their lease expires. So there can't be much wiggle room.
I don't know. I mean, Quentin Lucas said that he was aiming for opening day of 2030. Like, he wants to get ahead of this and start going.
Early.
But, you know, some people are like, I don't think that's possible. So we'll
either
see
way,
what
the Royals
possible.
Have to make their decision, like, now.
Yeah, I mean, it needs to happen in 2026 for sure. Like, they can't kick the can until next, you know, legislative sessions and things like that. Like, you may be – I agree. I think that they – and maybe that was a part of the plan the whole way through. I don't think it was, but maybe that's what it was to say, like, listen, guys, like, you have one option or you're leaving Kansas City. Like, you need to make this decision right now.
Yeah, man, I hope that's it. I'm so tired of that story. I'm so tired of these stories. It's not just the Royals, the Chiefs, too. Like, I'm ready to just, like, let's put a shovel in the dirt and let's, you know, let's get after it. Let's see what's happening here. Let's get these stadiums. Even though I don't love paying for them or any of that, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just ready to stop wondering what's going to happen. We'll come back. Let's talk Portal, and then we'll get to the Royals. The Royals just make me too mad. Can't start a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday that way. We'll see you in a minute on Sports Day.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. Watch for a disabled vehicle on I-135 South past K-96. It's causing a 2-mile backup to I-235. Give yourself 15 extra minutes. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather. Partly cloudy, breezy, and warm today. A high of 82. South winds go west 15 to 25 and gusty. Any thunderstorms this afternoon should be well east of the turnpike. Becoming clear and a little bit cooler tonight. 53 is the low. Sunny and warm on Thursday. High 85. Partly cloudy, windy on Friday. High in the low 80s. Storm chances return Friday evening and they could be severe. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Basically, get out of the way.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
Damn! Fernando Mendoza skipping the draft. Boy, I'd love to know what those conversations were like or how long those conversations lasted between Mendoza representatives and the NFL, because we're getting really close to the draft and you don't have the shiny object, the one shiny object there that you want, and that is Fernando Mendoza. I would say 95% are going to show up at the draft if they're the number one overall pick.
53% would go to the draft.
What?
Yes, 53% would go to the draft. That means, 47 would stay home.
I think my family would survive if I wasn't there to celebrate with them. I can bring them with me and they can sit in the green room. They're not going to have to wait long before my name is called.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Wherever you go, you can take us along. Listen to our live stream and never miss a thing. Listen at the gym. Listen on an airplane. Listen during your daughter's wedding. You never liked the groom anyway. Wherever you go, take us along. Listen to our live stream on the free iHeartRadio app.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily, Jacob Altbrock, TJ Cleland. Glad to be with you here on this Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Wichita Thunder First Responders Night is on at Intrust Bank Arena. Catch the annual police versus fire game starting at 4:15. End of season awards will happen before the game. Text HOCKEY to the number 20357 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the final game of the season. Good luck, everybody, on that. We'll have a couple contests we'll tell you about today, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up. It's been a couple late nights for me. You know, the Royals last night, and then the Rangers have been playing out in Oakland, TJ, so been up past my bedtime with the West Coast games. Oh, I said Oakland. Sacramento. Sorry. Sacramento. We'll get to the Royals as far as baseball talks here in just a little bit, but before we do that, let's talk transfer portal. Because it was an active day for everybody not named KU. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of movement, two additions to the Shockers, one in the portal, one run it back, and one for K-State. One, I believe, for K-State, right? K-State just got the Isaiah Abraham.
Two.
So, oh, they did get two. All right, here, let's do this. Let's let TJ run us through our tradition here of the portal happenings yesterday. And then we'll discuss. So here it is, your transfer portal update.
All right. Yesterday was a busy day. You are correct. We will start in the early morning, as you're talking about, with the biggest news of the day. Wichita State has a new, you could say a new centerpiece, maybe, or one of the centerpieces of what the team will be next year. He is coming from George Mason. Jahari Long played two seasons at Maryland, two seasons at Seton Hall. Just played this last year at George Mason. Helped them, was one of their leading scorers, I believe, into an NIT run. Wichita State, according to Taylor Eldridge, fought off USC to get him, among other suitors. So that tells you the caliber. That's the best way to gauge your portal prospects. But they got him, former Cuse Elite player down in Houston. Now there's four guys that played for P.J. Cousinart on the roster, I do believe. But Jahari Long coming in. Maybe the headline of the signing is that he is a seventh-year senior, Jacob. A seventh-year senior, which tease for a headline that you may have missed coming up later in the show. Seventh-year senior, played 2 years at Seton Hall. One of those years had some cartilage issues in his knee, is what I read from Taylor. Missed the entire second year after five games, so got a medical redshirt for that. Played a full year at Maryland, played a full regular season at Maryland, then got hurt in the conference tournament. Tore his ACL, missed the entire next year, so got another medical redshirt there. Then his freshman year was the COVID season, so he got a COVID blanket waiver there as well. So that's how he got three extra years. That's how he's going into his seventh year now. So that's the backstory you need to know, but it's a big piece for them, which we'll get into. That's talk for later in the show. More portal news. We keep going. Next up was Matt Gilhool is the one you're forgetting, Jacob.
That's the one I missed.
LSU is coming to K-State. 6'11", former four-star out of high school. He redshirted at LSU. I believe it was an injury that held him out. So he missed all of his freshman year. But now he is coming to K-State for his redshirt freshman year, I guess. So Matt Gilhool, 6'11". They now have a guy that is 6'11" and a guy that is 7'1" on the roster. So that may be notable. I'll save that in a second. I'll tell you now. I'm making like a story and just trying to write down all the guys that everybody's getting. And I'm trying to like make it look like projected starting fives based on the rosters right now. Uh-huh. And I'm looking at K-State and I'm like, man, I have literally no idea. Like,
no, I think for K-State, we can start there. I think for K-State, it's going to be my guess, based on what we've seen. They'll probably be 8 or 9 guys. They'll all play. They'll go super high pace. They'll all be able to shoot, and they'll sub frequently.
This is the thing, Jacob, is that I like the thing that they're doing because they're building an identity, which is what he said he was going to do.
Right.
But my thing is, as you look at it, and like JT Rock was a pretty big get. Everybody else is just like, I mean, they all average like 4 points per game, 5 points per game. Rhett Steiner was a good one as well. Those are the two ones that I feel like are, you know, your centerpiece that you know those are going to start. Everybody else, it's just like, I have no idea if Jaden Schutt is better than...
No, Kostic will start probably.
Maybe, I don't know.
I mean, to get him to stay, I would imagine he's a big part.
He was on my list. So anyways, we'll save the talk. We're not done with the recap. So then we'll go to more K-State. Isaiah Abraham later in the day commits to K-State. He's from Georgetown, 6'7", sophomore, like a small forward type of player, like a wing. Former four-star recruit, started his career at UConn, came off the bench, limited role for UConn. Transferred to Georgetown, started in basically every game, 30-plus games. He averaged like 5 points per game. So he's a wing, you know, shot it a little bit, but I think this just adds some wing depth for them. He could be one you could see as well, but again, who knows? You know, he started every game for Georgetown. Is that going to translate to the Big 12? What kind of player will he be? So that's your K-State. Earlier in the day before that, Kyle Grill, Mays Eagle, Fort Hayes Tiger, is going to the Missouri Valley. That's awesome. Bradley Braves, he's going there after his, I think he scored 14 points per game, basically, at Fort Hayes this past year. He was really good. So Kyle Grill is going to Division I. Now that Caleb Grill is officially out after his 7 years, we got another Grill that's making his way up. I think he's only got 1 year of eligibility left. So Kyle Grill.
Which is great. I mean, I'm happy that he's taking that jump. That'll be fun to watch him next year.
I agree. All right, couple more. Let's go next to the Shockers. Shockers didn't get a portal piece. They got another retention piece that was, you know, kind of assumed, but again, we can't assume anything in the new age, and we need to have returner announcements. But Jared Valencia is coming back after he tore his Achilles, I believe is what it was, right before conference play. He was one of the bigger gets of last year's portal. I'd have to imagine he was the one they felt the best about. They fought off Syracuse to get him, among some others as well. But I know he took a visit to Syracuse and picked Wichita State. And so he's coming back. Intriguing of what he'll bring, especially off of an injury. You don't know. But, you know, he was a guy that came in, and he's, 6'9" athlete, can shoot the three. Like,
kind of hurt all year.
Yeah, he was banged up at the start, and then he tore his Achilles. So we didn't really get to see much of him.
Right, we don't know.
If you had to project him out, like, he feels like he's a bigger Batie, a bigger Williams that can shoot a little bit as well. So we'll see where that can go. He could slide in. If you wanted to play small ball, he could play your five as well. Like, they'll have a lot of creative options that they can do. He's good enough that he was projected that he was probably going to be a starter this past year. And so, and then, you know, things happened and that didn't happen. So I'm interested where he'll fall into next season in the fold there. Other Wichita State, Dre Kindle has his next home. Dre Kindle is going to Drake. He's going to the Missouri Valley as well, excuse me. So Dre Kindle, after 1 year at Wichita State, I believe has 1 year of eligibility left. So his senior year, he'll play at Drake. He was a former All-American at Barton. If any JUCO people are listening, Dre Kindle is going to Drake, which is notable, Jacob, because I believe in November, excuse me, Wichita State is going to play Drake in Kansas City. So we'll see cool. Kindle versus Wichita State.
That'll be fun. I look for him to have a big game there. Yep. Drake Kindle was a good player. I think Shocker fans like Drake Kindle. He had a lot of energy. I'm glad he's probably going to go somewhere where he's going to have a pretty big opportunity. Valencia is interesting. I kind of think, like you do, that he'll play a 4 or a 5 at times. They don't really, with a core of 4 not back, and we assume he won't be now, they really don't, you know, Noah Hill, like, they're going to have an interesting time behind Berg, because I don't think Berg's going to play 30 minutes a game.
I think if I had to take a guess, they have 3 more spots to fill. Like, I think that they're going to go get a big man to play behind or alongside Berg, and then have Noah as kind of like the wild card. I'd say if I had to guess, what they're really going to look for is like a stretch 5. Like, they want to have a big man that can shoot, because between Berg and Noah.
Yeah, so does everybody though.
I agree.
I tell you guys, there's a chart. There's a guy, and I've every year he does this. He kind of tries to follow the market, and he does a ton of research on this. And the big man is the most expensive this year. He put it as the cost of the NIL has gone up 65% this year, which, you know, in simple terms, $1 million player last year now cost you 1.65. But the big man positionally is the most expensive. So I don't know. I mean, getting Valencia back, I think makes a lot of sense. You've got Hill. I don't know that they need to go get a true center, or if you're, I mean, you do in the sense of like, well, what if there was an injury to Will Berg? But if that happened, like if that happens, what are you going to do anyway? So yeah. If there is a big, I mean, they found Berg obviously last year in a core four, maybe junior college is a place to look for a player like that at this point. But I think that market's going to get real high.
Yeah. And I think this is a separate conversation, but I'll throw this out and we start there is that, you know, I said KU was hosting Anton Bonke that came from Charlotte, which if anybody remembers the Charlotte game in which like Will Berg outplayed him. Like Bonke is one of the better bigs in the American. Like, don't get that wrong. Will Berg was the sixth man of the year in the American. Like Will Berg, there's a conversation that, you know, Will Berg may have been better than, you know, whatever, it's speculation, but he's up there. He's in that conversation is the best way to put that. Like he's the gap between them is tight. Bonke is going on a visit to KU and like could be their starting center. Like that's a realistic possibility. Like, do you like that to me yesterday is the most open my eyes and like Will Berg could have gotten paid $2+ million.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like maybe he that did. Is so,
we don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe we don't know what he got paid. I seeing Valencia come back with him. There was something, but we knew it too. We knew it all year. We were like, man, this team, even when they had that stretch where they remember where they couldn't finish a game or they'd have a stretch of, like it always felt like this group had something cooking a little bit, and clearly they did, or they wouldn't have retained as much as they did because nobody is retaining as much as they did. I think about Bonke in the Big 12.
I know,
playing against Arizona.
Bonke is not Floyd Badunga.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't want to do it because it's too early and there's too many good players in the portal. I'm kind of starting to lose confidence a little bit here in KU. I'm
scared, man. Like, it's scary right now. Like, there's got to be something. Like, the Stokes saga is off the rails right now, too. There's headlines on that, by the way. But, like, that is gone. Like, you have to get him. Like, that's my thing. Is like, you have to get him. Because right now, I think if you're building out of the portal, like, you have to get Stokes. I think is where
they are. I'll tell you this, Kentucky. I don't know the headlines you're referencing. Kentucky probably also feels the same way, and Kentucky will be more desperate to get him than KU will.
I think so. I don't know. It sounds like, based on all accounts, like it's a shoe thing now, which is ridiculous.
That's where I got to step back. And that's what that, you know. There was a time when I said, "Does KU want to be in this business again this year?" Because from the things that we've heard, Peterson had his injury challenges. Stokes will be more of a personality than Peterson was. Whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, if we're getting into shoe conversation, that's where I'm like, you think they have to get Stokes. I think I'd much rather see them pivot away and go get two or three high-end portal guys. Because I don't, like, the thought of Bill Self having to go through that sensitive protect this, you know, player and their NBA. Like, I don't know, man. Like, that was hard to do for a year. Now you're going to have to do it again, maybe in a more bombastic player who's not as good. So is that really what Kansas and Bill Self want to be doing? I don't know. Well, Astrius Lotta, they're still really good players in the portal. If you're going to spend all that money, just go get a couple of those top guys. Put together a group of six or seven guys and go coach the crap out of them. I don't know. I'm not saying I think Stokes is going to be a bad player. I'm not saying he wouldn't make KU better. But the longer this goes for a guy who forever it just seemed like was coming to KU, like if you don't want to be there, all right, We'll go do something else. It's Kansas. It's not like they shouldn't have other options.
I agree with that. I don't know. I think that, like, maybe they got hung up on Stokes and they're like, we are going to have a spot for him. Like, we cannot move away from him. And then now I think that they're, like, hands tied behind their back a little bit. It's like, we need you to come, man. Like, we did all this stuff. Like, I don't know. That was my point I made yesterday, is that I think Stokes is still better than, you know, all but one or two of the guys in the portal. Like, and that to me is that, like,
I think he might be more talented. You think he's going to be a better college basketball player?
Maybe next year.
What do you mean next year?
Well, I mean, yeah, this coming season. I guess
Walk in and be better than, I don't know, PJ Haggerty?
I mean, they're different games. I think, like, I don't know. I would rather have Stokes than, I mean, yeah, I'd rather have Stokes than PJ Haggerty, I guess. I'd rather have Stokes than the Santa Clara guy. Like, I'd rather have him over him. I'd say maybe the only ones that I would change my mind on, I got to pull it up.
Momcilovic, we established yesterday, yes, we'd both rather
that's
have.
That's the one I'm, yes. I'd rather have Momcilovic. I would rather, you know, maybe the, what's his name? Help me out here.
Okay, Stokes is going to cost more. So would you rather have Stokes or would you rather have Rob Wright and Momcilovic, two guys we saw and are familiar with in the Big 12? What do you think makes KU better next year?
I mean, that's just – I don't think that that's comparable, though. Like, that's two five-star transfers versus a five-star freshman.
What's
like,
the cost? We're talking about shoe deals now.
I mean, if it's – if it costs that much for Stokes that you can get both of those guys for that price
– what I'm saying,
like, – that'd blow my mind. There's no way that's real.
I don't know why this isn't a done deal. We'll ask Shreyas Lotta about it. Real quick, take a question from Jay, great listener, who asks, what type of players should WSU look for to complete the roster with those possibly two spots? We don't know about Joy Igdovida yet. I would say, TJ just told you, he thinks they need to get a backup. I wouldn't mind a backup big. I would tell you that now I think you can really get creative. So what I mean by that is Wichita State has a roster right now that you look at and you're like, oh yeah, get out there. I would love to see them, you know, Brian Amunique was kind of a late addition last year. I that kind of player. I don't know if there's any high schoolers that you could kind of talk, but whatever it is, like, get super creative to go now after some diamonds in the rough. Like, who is at a really interesting place? Where's Kyle Grill would be the example of a kind of player. Who is awesome in Division II? Where's a junior college superstar? Go find that guy. At least one of them, I think that would be interesting. Because you just, if you can get them there, you never know. It wouldn't be like a this year thing, probably. But we see that work sometimes. Where, think about when they got Xavier Bell. Xavier Bell comes in, wasn't highly priced. He obviously was coming home. All of a sudden, that turned into their best offensive player for 2 years. He wasn't being highly sought after necessarily.
I think if I had to take a stab with the three spots that I believe that they have remaining, they're going to...
If Joy comes back, do we know what Joy's doing?
I think it's three regardless. I think that if Joy leaves, it'd be four based on... Okay. Let me check Taylor's roster here. I always just refer to Taylor's spreadsheet.
Yeah, his chart is always handy.
Yeah. So yeah, they'd have three spots open with Joy. So four if he leaves.
Okay.
So right now, I think if you had to make me guess, they're going to go get another guy that is 6'9" or taller. Go get a big to help out there. Because Noah's undersized as well. Noah's 6'8". So I think they'll go get another big just for that reason. I think that they will try to go get like a pure shooter and kind of throw a dart on that one. Kind of like Amunique, you know, just to say like, hey, this guy shot 45% and shot nothing but three. Like, everybody on the roster right now shoots some threes and does a little bit of something else. Like, I think they want to go get like a, you know, fill in the blank. Just
shooter. They don't have just a shooter.
I think they'll try to go do that if I had to guess. So
yeah, it would be needed. I mean, they brought in some guys that you think are gonna do that collectively. All right, we'll come back. We'll have more on KU, by the way, with Shreyas coming up. Let's talk Royals when we return.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Everything
from the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. Don't worry about me. I called ART.
Traffic. I-135 southbound, there's a disabled vehicle in the right lane at 29th Street, and it's causing a backup past the I-235 interchange. It will add an additional 15 minutes to your commute. And there are construction delays on Southeast Boulevard North at 31st Street. It's stop and go there starting at the I-35 overpass. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather. Partly cloudy, breezy, and warm today. A high of 82. South winds go west, 15 to 25 and gusty. Any thunderstorms this afternoon should be well east of the turnpike. Becoming clear and a little bit cooler tonight. 53 is the low. Sunny and warm on Thursday. High 85. Partly cloudy, windy on Friday. High in the low 80s. Storm chances return Friday evening and they could be severe. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Tuesday night wasn't the best game you'll see from LaMelo Ball, but he sure saved his best for last. He had the game-winning layup to keep the Hornets alive in the NBA play-in. This is what the NBA needs. The Hornets are a really good team with good players and a crowd that's heavily invested in them, and it should scare those in the Eastern Conference. Ball and Con Knipple combined to shoot 2 of 22 from three-point range, and they still got the win. Amazing. I'm dead dead.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday to you, everybody. Glad to have you here on Sports Daily. Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care, celebrating 60 years in Wichita, providing expert lawn care for help lawn, tree and shrub care, and bed weed control since 1966. Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care. Glad to be back with you here on Sports Daily. Royals fall 2-1 last night. Get a great pitching performance from, well, a good pitching performance from Cole Reagans. The Bastrom was good. The Tigers score too late. The Royals can't. They score a run and get almost nothing offensively.
Jacob, the Tigers could have scored the two runs in the first inning. They would have won.
I know. It's like four runs. I mean, sorry, four hits. I don't know what else to say here. I'm having these horrible flashbacks to the offseason where it's like, we really like the way this thing looks. But we just have to, you know, you just got to see is are all these, and it's not even the young guys. Like they move Lane Thomas up to third, to the three hole. He's hitting 154 on the season.
That's
first
insane,
of all.
First of all.
Okay. But he has a track record and a history of a guy who profiles to be able to hit there. Like, I'm okay with it. We have such a short sample size with him as a Royal. Like, okay, Lane Thomas is profiled that way in his career. That's fine. But then you leave Salvi and Vinny together. And what happens in the night there, TJ? Lane Thomas gets on. He gets over to second with a couple of guys with nobody out. Runner on second. Salvi and Vinny coming up. We're honestly celebrating that Salvi hit a weak ground ball to the infield that moves him over, which is not what you need your four-hole hitter to be doing. But okay, gets the job done. Vinny also hits a ground ball to the infield, and the Royals can't score the run with a runner on second and nobody out in the ninth inning. I mean, it with your four and five hole hitters coming up, it's getting to the point where like kudos for sliding somebody else up into the three hole, but we're not seeing what the issue is. And the issue is those two guys are struggling, and it is bad struggling right now. And stop putting them together. How many games? Like, where are all our Twitter stat nerds? How many games, TJ, and how many opportunities have those two guys collectively had to drive in runs this year with runners on second and less than two outs? Because it feels like it's every game. they come up like that in a key spot? And why do they have to right now when they're struggling? Break them up in the lineup. I don't get it.
I agree. I'm with you. I don't know. And the thing about it is that's the funniest part. Those guys, it's a different conversation for those guys. Those guys are struggling, and that's the truth. I'll say this for the people. I was making this point to somebody yesterday, texting them about it, because the new Discord, you know, it happens everywhere. Whenever your offense stinks, well, we got to fire the hitting coach. Whenever your pitching stinks, you say, oh, we got to fire the pitching coach. The thing is, though, Jacob, like, the hitting outside of those two isn't that bad. It's just situationally, it's awful. Right. And that to me is that, like,
which has been a problem.
But to me, it's so weird. Like, what's wrong? Like, how do you even put a pinpoint on something to say, like, yeah, we just can't get singles when guys are on second base? It's like, well, then why can you do it when they aren't on second base? Like, what is different?
Now you're getting this pressure and it's in your head, and we've seen this for 2 years, and I don't know what you can do other than just, like, totally, like, just shake it up. Like, whatever it is. I don't care what it is. You want to lead Carter Jensen off? Great. I don't care at this point. What I don't want anymore is Salvi and Vinny hitting back to back at any spot in the lineup, because they're both struggling too much to do that, and it is killing them. Like, every key opportunity sees those two come up and fail. And they're both great players, and they're both going to snap out of their individual funks they're in right now. But, man, you're sitting there now, you're 7-10. You're playing games against the Tigers here. Now is the time. Not the time to let them work it out. I don't care that it's April. Like, that is such a tired thing. Guys are they're going to hit better before the end of this season. Mm-hmm. They're going to. But right now, it is so glaringly obvious that they're both struggling. You're just being stubborn by doing it this way. And I don't know a thimble about baseball compared to Matt Quatraro. Not even close. He's good at his job. But why he refuses to do this? Look at the way that he'll mix and match the rest of the lineup. Look at the way he will flip guys around at a moment's notice. Like, if this is something where it's Salvi and Vinny are like too sensitive to do, like, then that's a problem.
That's the other conversation about this stuff is that, like, and I don't think it's them per se.
I don't either. That's why I can't figure out why they won't change it.
Maybe it's something like I saw, you know, Royals Review does a bunch of good stuff. They put something out about that, you know, is there a conversation to be had about not even the Royals, just across the MLB, because this happens everywhere, that your star hitter, your four hole struggles and you keep them in the four hole. Like, it's not just a Royals thing, but, you know, every fan across the country, if this happens to their team, they're also saying that, hey, you need to move him out of the four hole. Is there something to be said about, like, are teams and managers, like, too loyal to these guys? And like, you know, who is the Royals? Is the Royals, you know, Vinny and Salvi? Because they're big Royals. They're fan favorites. They're, you know, the Royals don't owe anything to them per se, but they're the people that kind of make the engine go a little bit.
It's both. The manager, yes, needs to. He's got to manage the locker room over 162 games. So, yeah. But I cannot imagine that there would be any pushback if he said, Vinny, you're hitting third, Salvi, you're hitting sixth tonight.
Yeah. I mean,
or
I think
vice versa.
I mean, listen to Vinny's postgame comments. Like, Vinny's like self-deprecating about
that's,
it. Like,
he always has, but that's what I mean. Like, I don't catch the vibe that would be a problem for either of those guys. Here's the other interesting thing is you've got a guy in Carter Jensen, who's probably on the other side, not going to do the things that he's doing now over the course of an entire season in his rookie season. Capture that lightning in a bottle if you can, right? Do what you can there. Again, I really don't mind Lane Thomas getting the opportunity. I don't like Jack Caglione not getting, like, you know, some opportunity in the game. I don't think he needs
to. Did he not play yesterday?
No, he didn't play. Like, he didn't play
yesterday. That's so insane.
So whatever it is, Lane Thomas hitting third is fine. I don't have a problem with that. It's a guy that's been around for a long time. no big deal. Doing something different there is great, but you're not solving the problem, as we saw in the ninth inning. To the question about loyal to God, like I'll never forget when Piccolo came on here, because as the Royals were just desperately seeking a leadoff hitter, right? It was like, well, just hit Bobby Witt Jr. there. He's the best player on the team. All across baseball, the best players and the best hitters on teams lead off now. It's simple. You know, as a kid, you wondered that stuff, and it was like, well, no, you have to have a fast guy leading off, and you have to have... Well, now it's just like, no, why don't we do the thing that gets our best player the most at-bats possible, right? We asked J.J. Piccolo that, and he was like, well, because Bobby Witt Jr. doesn't want to hit it leadoff. He doesn't want to move out of this two-hole. And when you have it, like, it's like, oh, okay, well, that's probably fine. And, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. is comfortable there. He likes the things he's in, and okay. So, you know, I think you got to do both. But I don't think if Bobby Witt Jr. was really struggling, let's say he was leading off or in the two-hole, and they needed to move him somewhere else, I don't think he's going to blow back at that.
I don't think so either. I don't think it matters that much either. I don't think that,
I don't either.
It's not, you know, it's not Little League where it's like, oh, well, the worst hitter's batting eighth and ninth, you know. Like, I think, the, you know, there's obviously
you build it in different ways to try and maximize opportunities. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason. There's a reason that people, I mean, they stack lefties and right. Like, I don't know about you, Jacob, but, you know, I have always been in the camp about, like, whenever I played baseball, like, I didn't give a crap where I batted in the lineup, you know, like, it was fun to bat leadoff if you ever bat leadoff, because it was just fun to be a leadoff hitter. But, like, other than that, like, you're the leadoff hitter for one singular time. Everything else doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter the rest of the time. It's all about how many at-bats do you get.
I always have been, like, the order to me has never mattered. Like, I'm fine with rolling out whatever order you want. Whenever it's something to where it's, like, two guys back-to-back, you probably shouldn't have back-to-back. That's a different thing. But, like, it's like, I can't believe they're batting him in the six hole. It's like... Okay, like that means that he's got five guys in front of him and he could potentially drive in. Like, who? It's the same as being there.
You know, six hole. Yeah, you've got good batters ahead of you to be on base. You put your high slug guys in the middle so that they can potentially score those runs for your high on base guys at the top of the lineup.
It's always been a bigger deal about who is in the lineup. Like, I have a bigger problem. I have a bigger problem with Jack Caglione not playing at all yesterday more than I have a problem with Lane Thomas batting in the three-hole.
I have more of a problem with Salvi and Vinny batting back-to-back than I do. But, yes, I would agree. Lane Thomas batting third doesn't bother me at all. Jack Caglione not being in the lineup bothers me. Isaac Collins and Starling Marte don't need to play on the same day. They one of them can play, and the other one needs to be Jack Caglione every day. You're either putting a part of the franchise behind Jack Caglione or you're not. You better find out what you're doing. They would have never done this to Bobby Witt Jr. when he got the call. And he didn't, I mean, it took him a while. I mean, it took him a year. But they didn't do that to Bobby Witt Jr. Put Jack Caglione in the lineup. You don't need to protect him. Like, we're not going to be looking at this when Jack Caglione is hopefully the player he can become and saying, oh, he probably needs to sit against, you know, a lefty or a righty or whatever. No, you play him. You just play him. You're going to sit anybody right now, right? Get a minute for Salvi to catch his breath. He's 38 years old and struggling hard. Sit him down a game. Let Carter Jensen catch if you feel like you really need to get Marte. And Salvi is notoriously, as he gets older especially, like, so streaky. We can all watch him and know when he's on one. When it looks like if you put that ball anywhere near that square, he's hitting a double or a home run. Or, like it is now, it just doesn't have it. He doesn't have it right now. And he doesn't have it right now. So move him down. I think it's about like, I always compare it to starting lineups in basketball. Like, everyone freaks out about, oh, he didn't put him in the starting lineup. How many minutes are they playing? Mm-hmm. That was an old Greg Marshall thing. He would get asked because he would do weird things in the start, and people are like, why is so-and-so not starting? He was like, he played the most. Like, why do we care? Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're in the starting lineup. It matters where the game ends. How many minutes did you play? The lineup thing is about like that. It doesn't matter where you bat necessarily.
Here's a Royals headline.
I'm old school, man. I do like keeping a lineup the same, but not when it's like this and you're just slamming your head against the wall.
I think it's more the fact that it's not staying the same, except that that's the only thing that is staying the same. Like
I would have been ready to bet $1,000 when Lane Thomas got to second with nobody out and looking what I was like, they're not scoring that run. Like they're just not going to. Not right now. All right, we'll come back. Headlines we missed, Tria Slotta next hour, maybe some NFL draft talk. We'll have some fun on Sports Daily.
This is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, Wichita. K248CY, Wichita. KNSS HD2, Clearwater. And Odyssey Sports Station.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. I-135 southbound, there's a disabled vehicle in the right lane at 29th Street, and it's causing a backup past the I-235 interchange. It will add an additional 15 minutes to your commute. And there are construction delays on Southeast Boulevard North at 31st Street. It's stop and go there starting at the I-35 overpass. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
Partly cloudy, breezy, and warm today. A high of 82. South winds go west, 15 to 25 and gusty. Any thunderstorms this afternoon should be well east of the turnpike. Becoming clear and a little bit cooler tonight. 53 is the low. Sunny and warm on Thursday. High 85. Partly cloudy, windy on Friday. High in the low 80s. Storm chances return Friday evening and they could be severe. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.